broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refuses to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is the broadcast for September the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Man, have we got a lot to cover today. First off, a recap of yesterday's show. We talked about Donald Trump will announce his Supreme Court pick, or nominee, if you will, by Saturday. Hopes the Senate will vote by the election. We have plenty of time to do it. Yeah, that's right. I say President Trump announced it a day early on Friday. Congress slam dunk it on Saturday. Get it done, folks. The sooner, the better. Constitutionally, you have an obligation. And morally, you have even a greater obligation, I might add. Republicans, believe it or not, right now hold a 53-47 majority in the Senate. It gives Republicans full control unless we have betrayers in our midst. Pelosi wants to impeach President Trump again, or try to again, if he tries to push through a Supreme Court pick. Pelosi says she'll impeach, and Trump says, I dare you, go right ahead. If you want to impeach me for doing my job, have a good time. Then the Democrats, just melting down, say they're going to pack the courts. They got to blow up the system. They're crazy. Will the Democrats try to pack the Supreme Court? Increase the number of justices? I bet they will. That was hour one. Hour two, we had our guests on, two of them, Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent rocks his new Spirit Campfire podcast. Number one on Billboard's top Facebook live charts, if you will. TedNugent.com, HuntTheVote.org, doing a great job with that. We also had on Jim Clymer. James Clymer is a constitutional attorney. He's with the Party of Liberty, Integrity, and Prosperity. What am I talking about? ConstitutionParty.com. Anyway, we talked about the Supreme Court stuff quite a bit. Good job, both of them. We talked about the DOJ, the Department of Justice, labeling three cities, Portland, Oregon, New York City, and Seattle. President Trump of the Justice Department labels them anarchist jurisdictions. Kirk Crosby wisely points out, man, you could sure add a lot of other cities to that. Chicago, for starters. Wise point, indeed. Mike Bloomberg, out of control, raises $16 million to pay fines of black and Hispanic felons so they can vote in Florida. Totally out of control. Totally unhinged. Totally crazy vote fraud stuff going on literally everywhere. Right? Wow. Donald Trump, quote, I'm so angry at Republicans for their slow investigations. Well, he's right as rain about that. Amen. President Trump, you're spot on. But again, what do you expect from the swamp monster Republicans, my friend? They're undermining your attempts at every turn, sir. Drain the swamp, buddy. Get it done. Fire those guys. Get good, honest Americans in there that believe in your cause, sir. And the sooner the better. McMaster, that was an old Trump employee. Mad because he got fired, I guess. McMaster turns against Trump and warns a risk of another 9/11 event. Yeah. Of course, he's interviewing for his new book, Battlegrounds. So is it really about a threat, or is it really about selling a book? I pray we're not a threat. The biggest threat, I think, to us beyond 9/11 would be the Patriot Act. That's a big danger to the American people. So why don't we just jettison that, President Trump? Flu shot, they say, is not untested, but I say they lie. COVID-19 vaccinations, USA Today, they claim there's no COVID-19 vaccination in the flu shot. I agree, they're probably right. But then they say that the flu shot is not untested, because some people are saying, well, it hasn't been tested. Every time you change the formula, it's untested, ladies and gentlemen. And every year they put three new, depending on if it's a trilent or quadrilent or whatever they call that vaccine. And then they put new strains in there, and it hasn't been tested. And they lie when they say that it has. It all depends on how you define the word tested. See, You go study it, and you'll find out they have tests that they claim are tests, but they're not really complete tests. All the manufacturing of vaccine companies are off the hook. The government literally forges and fakes these tests to make you believe it's safe and effective. And they don't know that at all. They're lying to you. Write it down, go study it, and find out who's telling you the truth, okay? We also talked about Incredible Domino's Pizza chain commits $100 million to St. Jude Hospital. Largest donor in St. Jude's history. Incredible stuff. Now, we do the best we can standing for St. Jude. We don't have that kind of money, but we put in what we can. Ours is a little bit more of the widow's mite scenario, but I commend Domino's. Good work, folks. Undercover journalist turns the tables. Sues Planned Parenthood for defamation. Charges that abortionists lied about Oregon harvesting videos. Yeah. So undercover journalist sues Planned Parenthood. Said you guys lied in court about your harvesting of baby body parts and stuff like that. And I'm suing you. I pray for success here, folks. James Dobson says that sex ed radicals learn not to mess with Texas. Officials are pushing the abstinence-based approach. Well, that's a start. We all agree that we shouldn't even have sex ed in government school, but if we're going to have it, let's at least have abstinence only. May not be perfect, but it's absolutely a huge step for mankind in the right direction. I'll say that, huh? All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. Still available at lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Donate today, please. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome indeed, my friend. Oh, there's so much to talk about. Ooh, wow. Supreme Court discussions. Kurt, you want to tell us about the press secretary? See, the problem with the headlines you sent me, it didn't have her name. So I had to go on the internet and hunt down her name and then add it in there. Because you got to hear her name over and over and over, Kurt, because she's one of the good guys. And you got to remember who she is and remember her by name. Donald Trump's press secretary. What is it now?
Kayleigh McEnany.
Mm-hmm. And Kayleigh McEnany, I'm telling you, hits it out of the park, Kurt. Do you want to talk about her, or do you want me to play it?
She sure does. Well, I don't know. Both? I mean, she said it so well, it's like you just want to hear it over and over, but it looks like we might not have time.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute, and then we'll play. Come back from the pause, and we'll play it directly. Mm-hmm. It's a 3.5-minute clip, and I'm done. Yeah. She's in one of her, what do they call those, press conferences or whatever?
Yeah.
And she's, you know, they say that she won't, you know, speak on behalf of the president, but when you listen to her, you go, she won't? What are you talking about? What planet are you on? Because she speaks out boldly, directly, clearly, eloquently, concise. I don't know how to describe it, but she really does a great job. And she basically says, hey, guys, here's what's going to happen with this Supreme Court deal. And you guys can rage against the machine. You guys can melt down. You guys can throw your sucker in the dirt. You guys can do whatever you want to do. But the president will carry out his constitutional duty. Okay? He's not president part-time. He's full-time. He's not a half-president. He's not a limited president. He was the duly elected president of the United States, people. And you know what? No matter what you guys try to do, you're not going to get us to circumvent the law or our duty. That's kind of my summary. Kurt, your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, the guys at Washington Examiner have a piece on it. And they basically just say the headline between, or for their headline on this deal, Kayleigh McEnany slams Don Lemon's call to blow up the entire system. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats, she says. You know, she was responding to, I guess, his thing in the his comment in the wake of the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, she called the difference between them, but I I just think it's so well said that she just, you know, you just want to hear it over and over. She says,
and I want to talk about this a little bit,
protect the Constitution.
Before we go on too much of what she says, I want her to say it. But I want to make a point here. And here's the point. Why are we bringing Don Lemon into this? Why are we giving him any coverage at all? Answer, because he said we want to blow up the system.
Yeah.
So the guy is a lawless thug anarchist. But what we got to do is refer to the lawless thug anarchists without giving them any credit by name. What we ought to say is thug, lawless anarchists are wanting to blow up the whole system. And we stand for the rule of law. They stand against the rule of law. We stand for law and order. They stand against law and order. And the point that I'm getting at is she doesn't name Don Lemon. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. The mainstream press does, because what they love to do is insert one of their characters. Doesn't matter if it's on one side or the other side. As long as they continue to tout their, quote, favorites' names, they don't care if you get the name right or wrong. It elevates the name of some whacked out, lawless, anarchist, thug kind of guy, and gives him some credibility, like he's legitimately arguing the other side of the discussion. There is no other side of this discussion, ladies and gentlemen. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and it calls for the president, duly elected of the United States, when a Supreme Court vacancy occurs, to fill that vacancy. With advice and consent for the Senate, that's his duty. There is no other side to the discussion. And let's not give credence to those who suggest or pretend there is.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. freedomslight.us. This event is completely free. Now more than ever, we need to ensure freedom's light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back to you live. So the point I was making, Kurt, very, very clear, is that, you know what? The Constitution calls for the president to carry out his duty. It doesn't say wait. It doesn't say you only can do your duty 3 years, but not in an election year. None of those things are relevant. The fact is the president has an obligation to fill that seat. And the Senate has an obligation to provide advice and consent for that, and it needs to happen right away. And any attempt to delay that is bogus. Now, you could say, Sam, that's a double standard. Back in the day, you suggested the Republicans should do that. Now, when we talk about advice and consent, the advice would be, Barack, don't put this candidate up. They're a thug. We're going to vote no on them, so don't even put them up. We're not doing it. But yet, when the right candidates come, let's do it. And that's the real question about the right candidates. And that's the important thing to understand. All right, here's a Kaylee McEnany with her comments to the press.
It is now a high crime and misdemeanor worthy of impeachment for a lawfully elected president of the United States to exercise his constitutional duty. Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution clearly states that the president, quote, shall nominate, end quote, justices of the Supreme Court when a vacancy occurs. No matter the time, no matter the politics of the day, the president is the president. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the president stops being the president in an election year. The president has already appointed two strong conservative justices to the Supreme Court, justices who will interpret the Constitution as written. Now he will nominate a third. As Senator Ted Cruz reminds us, we're one vote away from seeing our religious liberty votes stripped away, from our free speech stripped away, from our Second Amendment being stripped away. Just one vote. Contrast the president's solemn constitutional duty with Democrats' search and destroy politics. Nancy Pelosi has vowed to attack the president with, quote, arrows. Speaker Pelosi will not rule out impeaching this president for doing his job, for fulfilling his constitutional obligation. AOC said that impeachment is an option, quote, on the table, while Chuck Schumer stood by, nodding approvingly. The plan of House Democrats is so rabidly radical that even Democrat Senator Tim Kaine has rebuked the idea, calling the idea of using impeachment to delay a Supreme Court vote, quote, foolish. Some Democrats already have a backup plan if they don't get their way on this nomination. Congressman Joe Kennedy said if he holds a vote in 2020, we pack the court in 2021. It's that simple. Senator Ed Markey went further. No Supreme Court vacancies filled in an election year, he said. If he violates it when Democrats control the Senate in the next Congress, we must abolish the filibuster and expand the Supreme Court. Senator, the president is elected to a four-year term. You cannot unilaterally reduce it to 3 years. The president is the president. Democrats cannot win their argument on the merits. They cannot win on precedent, so they must search and destroy. Don Lemon said the quiet part out loud last night. He said this: we're going to have to blow up the entire system if the president does his job as outlined in the Constitution. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. We fight to protect the system. We fight to protect the Constitution. When Democrats say outright, we are going to blow up the entire system because we do not get our way. This president will proceed undaunted by Democrat threats. President Trump will fulfill his duty. President Trump will appoint the next Supreme Court justice. President Trump will protect religious liberty. President Trump will protect our freedom of speech. President Trump will protect our Second Amendment. Under this president, our rights will be upheld, our Constitution safeguarded, and this president will fill that seat. And with that, I'll take questions.
All right. She did name Don Lemon. I was wrong. But I say we shouldn't give Don Lemon any credit or Nancy Pelosi any credit. What we should do is say that they want to blow up the system. Now, when you look at someone saying we're going to blow up the whole system, in my opinion, that person should be arrested. When you have somebody saying, you know what, we have arrows to shoot at the president, I think the people ought to be arrested. Now, you can say, Sam, they didn't mean it like that. I know. But you know what? As far as I understand, Sarah Palin kind of mentioned that, hey, we got voters in the crosshairs or whatever, and they picked her apart for a statement like that. Okay, so let's talk about this. You can't make threats like that, not only against the president of the United States, duly elected sitting president, but you also can't make statements like you're going to blow up the whole system, Kurt. Can they get away with this kind of rhetoric?
Well, it seems like they continue to get away with things like this, Sam. You know, whether it's on the steps of the Supreme Court, like Schumer did a while back, basically threatening Supreme Court justices if they didn't vote the proper way, that they would have repercussions, and you know, not just impeachment. He didn't even mention impeachment. He just talks about, you know, threatening them at their homes or whatever. And we're seeing more and more of that. I mean, with this deal, we've seen the thugs show up at the McConnell's residence. Thugs show up at, let's see, I'm trying to remember who else.
Well, you got the different mayors of Seattle and Portland have had trouble, and you know, you've had multiple people. Even when they're on the side of the thugs show up in enemy kind of mode.
There's the head of the judiciary committee as well. What's his name from South Carolina as well? They showed up there at his place, you know. And the bottom line is, people are just. I mean, we've got, for example, in our area, they've got some ads that run about parents going off the kind of reservation at ball games, and they're hunting for officials for the ball games, and they say that the main reason they've been having trouble getting officials is that parents will, you know, just get out of control at games, and the officials don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, they'll have fueled by alcohol riots going on if their kid doesn't get a play, or if,
well, or who knows, whatever it is. But they're, you know, just not being, you know, they're being way past rude.
Yeah, like the ref would say, "You're out," and then the parent would get out of the stands. What? Are you kidding me? Didn't you see that? What are you, blind? Rolling down there on the field, causing all these issues and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Or ready to fight them or whatever.
Hey, you spilled beer on my shoe. Get away from me. And it goes on and on, right?
Yeah. And so you've got that kind of thing happening in the halls of Congress, it looks like.
Yes, you do. All right. Who do you think is going to be the next Supreme Court pick, Kurt? Number one, do you think President Trump's going to announce on Saturday? Do you think that they're going to vote on it immediately before the election? Now some of the Republicans are talking about maybe waiting until the day after the election to vote.
Well, I'm hopeful. Number one, I heard the president. I watched part of the event where he was in Pennsylvania last night, close to Pittsburgh. And I heard him say he's going to do it 5 o'clock on Saturday. So I'd be really surprised
5 p.m.,
if he
doesn't
do it. Yes. If he doesn't do it, and I assume that
if
means
he says
Eastern
he'll
time,
if he says know. He'll do it at 5 o'clock, and he's that direct, in a town hall or in a whatever you want to call it,
a rally. Night.
You know, I don't know what the difference between a town hall and a rally is. I'm not very smart, you know. But anyway, I look at that and go, you know what? I bet he'll do it. I don't, you know, I didn't know he was that specific about exactly when and stuff. Yeah. That's great. But here's the deal: who do you think will be the Supreme Court pick, and do you think that the Congress will vote on it, or the Senate will vote on it, quick enough, Kurt?
Well, he did ask the crowd, hey, should it be a man? And hey, I think he had found one person that raised his hand saying it was should be a man. And he says, well, that's pretty overwhelming. You know,
you think it should be a man,
like
Kurt?
You know, at least in my opinion, you can find good people on either side.
Yes, sir.
Well, of the aisle, if you're talking about men and women. But in this case, I think it's kind of overwhelming simply because you've got, it was a lady that died. And so
I understand
then,
all that.
You know, there's all that push there. But I, you know, would just love to see Judge Roy Moore, even if it's a short time that he was on the
Supreme Court.
I know,
but you're
not
answering
the
question, Kurt.
Well, I think that he'll choose a woman.
That's not what I asked you, either.
Do I think it should be a man or a woman? I think it should be a question that the president answers himself, because that's the way the Constitution says it.
Yeah, but he asked the crowd, Kurt. You're the part of the crowd, buddy.
Yeah.
So the president asked you.
Well, I just think it should be who he chooses.
All right. You can say that if you want to. He asked if it should be a man or a woman. He didn't ask if you think it should be who I choose, but I get it. Quick pause. I'll answer the question in a second. Kurt won't. He's too into politics to answer. The president will answer, and so will I. Hold on, folks.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will lie in repose at the U.S. Supreme Court today. Ginsburg died last Friday at 87. A private ceremony will be held this morning for Ginsburg's family, close friends, and members of the court, and a public viewing will be held from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern today, and from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. tomorrow. On Friday, her body will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol, making her the first woman to have ever been honored that way. The wife of the late Republican Senator John McCain is backing Joe Biden in November. Cindy McCain says the Democrat will stand up for American values, and though they never saw eye to eye on the issues in the past, she says Biden is honest and will lead the nation with dignity. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
My name is Dr. Roger Bond. I've been in practice for around 30 years now. One of the products that I recommend to my patients, I highly recommend, is Balance of Nature, fruits and vegetables. Back in the early 2000s, I began to have some respiratory issues that affected my practice. It affected my family life to the point where I'd come home from work and basically just lay down on the carpet because I was so tired. As I took Balance of Nature, that began to slowly change, and the energy came back and was able to enjoy time with my family. I recommend Balance of Nature to all of my patients because it's a product that works.
With three fruit and three veggie capsules, Balance of Nature provides you with all your recommended servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
The U.S. has reached a sad milestone in the fight against COVID-19. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
It was January 21st when the first positive coronavirus case was identified on U.S. soil. Now, exactly 8 months into the pandemic, and the United States has hit 200,000 deaths from COVID-19. The rate of infections continues to rise nationwide. The average rate of new coronavirus cases has increased to about 40,000 per day.
Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny is out of a German hospital after what experts say was an assassination attempt by Russian President Vladimir Putin. The activist fell ill on a flight from Siberia to Moscow in August, with the first reports being that he had drank poisoned tea, but it was later reported traces of a Soviet-era nerve agent were found in his system and in a water bottle inside a hotel room where he had stayed. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think Kurt Crosby's answer is absolutely spot on. The only thing I'd like to do is add a little bit to his answer for clarity's sake. What Kurt said is, I think the president should decide, and constitutionally, I think Kurt's 100% right. But the president asked what we think. Should it be a man or a woman? And I think the president has a right to answer that ask that question, but I would change the question and say, I don't think you're asking the right question, President Trump. We should say, how do we fill this vacancy? And the answer is, we should find the best person to fill the seat that we possibly can find. That could be a man or a woman, but it shouldn't be decided on the basis of a man or a woman. It should be decided on qualifications and credentials and a moral compass to carry out the duty of the office. And then we should say that could be a man or a woman. It depends on who is on the list. And so my point is, we shouldn't decide by if it's a man or a woman. That's the political way to divide us. It shouldn't be decided on, can the president do it or whatever? So my answer to the president would be, you show me the candidates. I will vote for the person based on their moral character in their public and private life. And if it's a man, so be it. If it's a woman, so be it. Let the best person fill the position. It's like saying to me, should a white person or a black person be on the Supreme Court? I'm not going to answer that in a white or black way. I'm going to say, let the best person fill the position. And if it happens to be a black person, then let it be. If it happens to be a Latino, let it be. If it happens to be a white person, let it be. And so when Kurt Crosby points out that I think Judge Roy Moore should be the person, What Kurt's saying is, I think it should be a man. Not because he wants that divide question. That's what Kurt's trying to avoid. That's the whole point of my bringing up. They're setting a trap for anybody who answers that question. They're doing it intentionally. Now, the president didn't mean to, but he's falling into that trap a little bit, in my opinion. Because what Kurt Crosby's saying is, I believe of all the people available to fill this position, I believe that Roy Moore should be that person. So Kurt said it should be a man by nature of a person, but not because of man versus woman, but because Kurt believes that this is the best person to fill the position. So if Phyllis Schlafly was alive, for instance, and she was on the docket, we might say a woman. But we wouldn't say a woman or a man. What we would say is Phyllis Schlafly is the person I believe should fulfill this position, based on qualifications, based on history, based on fidelity to the principles that we hold dear, based on personal and private behavior and morality standards, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think Kurt Cosby's answer's right. I just think the context is important to set the stage to say, I'm not going to fall into this trap of man versus woman divide. And that it has to be decided first. Let's decide if it's to be a man or a woman. Then let's think about what race they are or vice versa. And then let's eventually get to a person. I think you stop that game and you list the people and say, look, based on their moral character, based on their, you know, history that we can see and review, based on their moral character, based on their understanding of the rule of law, based on their willingness and the history, based on them following the Constitution and obeying the law and providing law and order context for their decision making. And okay, then you back into the person and then you end up going, well, I guess it's a black man. So what? Or I guess it's a Latino female. So what? Or I guess it's a white man. So what? The character and the person is who we should be focusing on. And Kurt's exactly right. I just felt like that context might help, Kurt. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but hopefully that kind of articulates the point. When you ask if it's a man or a woman, it's very difficult to answer because all of a sudden you get put into a box that rightfully so, you don't want to be put in because it's not what you're saying, right?
Very good, Sam.
Anyway, anything to add to that? I just thought I'd add context. I think you're right, Kurt.
Yeah.
But I want people to understand why you're right.
If I were asked the question, well, if you're going to compare 70-something-year-old Judge Roy Moore on the Supreme Court to 48-year-old Amy Coney Barrett, I guess is her name, you know, the good Catholic lady and that kind of thing, if you're going to compare those two opportunities, you know, then, you know, that's a 30-year difference, and so it would kind of make
be
me
wise.
Think a little bit more on that. But I still would put Judge Roy Moore there, and I would do it as the president, you know, even more specifically because of his past actions, a complete track record of a man that I knew would, you know, stand for, I mean, in the wake of everything, he's continued to stand. And then, you know, hopefully his good record and his good past deeds would rub off on all those ones in there and give more courage to guys like Gorsuch and
Kavanaugh,
you know, these different ones in there, and maybe you know, that would help things along as well.
And to add to this, we're not saying that Amy doesn't have a great character. What we're saying is we know so much about Roy Moore's character,
right,
that it's going to be hard to beat. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let's be clear.
Exactly.
Let's be very clear. If the tables were turned and Amy was 77 or whatever, and Roy Moore was 48, and you had the history on Amy and not as much on Roy, who would you promote, Kurt?
Well, I mean, if she had done those same things, you know,
that's
defending
right.
the Ten Commandments and standing up to the LGBT crowd and the homosexual marriage crowd and all those things
then
like that.
Who would
that.
You vote for, Kurt?
I would put her there.
Yeah, know? And you would because why?
Of the record.
That's right. Because of the history, because of the moral character, because of the behavior in personal and public life, because of the track record. Go ahead.
And we've seen this so many times from these guys. I even heard Mark Levin talk about the difference between Amy Coney Barrett and this Lagoa lady, if I remember right, as how you
yes,
say
Yes, Barbara Lagoa, that's right.
He said Amy Coney Barrett's got a lot more track record, you know, to look at versus the Lagoa lady. And he says that it worries him, and he brought out the fact that so many of these other ones that were chosen by even Republican presidents have been disappointments in the past. And
The appointments have been
very good. Very good, Sam.
Yeah, you're right, though. And so I completely agree with the point you're making, Kurt. I just wanted to be clear. The second you say, well, I'd put a man compared to a woman, now you're just off on the derail discussion. That's not relevant to what we're talking about. What's relevant is we want to talk about the character and track record of the person involved. And let male and female, let black and white, let whatever, all those things fall away. And let's search for the best person for the job with the best track record we can get. And I agree that I think that Judge Roy Moore would be the best. I get that he's older and all that. But I also get that Amy would probably be a lot better than Barbara because we have a better track record. We don't know that that's a fact. However, it looks like Larry Klayman's speaking out. He's already predicted who it's going to be, Kurt. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Klayman says Judge Barbara Lagoa will be Donald Trump's SCOTUS pick. He says he dares Democrats to rough up a female Latino from Florida.
It's a very, very good point.
Yes, it is.
And it's also a good point that he, if you take it on the other hand, Mrs. Coney Barrett, if you look at her with her seven children, two of which are adopted from, is it Haiti? I think it is.
I think so.
You know, so then she's got two black children that she's mothered. She's on the court. She's a Catholic. I mean, they would have trouble there, but I do agree that the Latino thing makes the other one even tougher for them to, you know, beat up on.
Yeah, but this is what I want to avoid, though. I don't want to fall down that trap of male and female. We got a Latino, we this and that. We're falling into their traps, Kurt, when we allow that to be the discussion point. Okay? And I don't mean to hammer this so hard that it's just obnoxious, but I do mean to be very clear. This isn't about whether it's a male or female. This isn't about whether they're Latino or not. This isn't about, okay, it is about their character, their history, and their track record. And I want to make that very clear. So I don't know enough about Barbara to answer, but Larry Klayman is convinced that Judge Barbara Lagoa will be Trump's SCOTUS pick, and he'll kind of do it in an effort to dare Democrats to rough up a female Latino from Florida. Now, the problem is if Donald Trump does that, he's searching for political protection for his pick, more so than looking for a person that will slam dunk the pro-life point. Now, I don't know if Barbara will or not. I don't know her well enough. She's supposed to be pro-life. I guess she got her sea legs under her as an attorney and as a judge, Kurt. Do you know how?
Nope.
All right, Larry Klayman breaks it down. Better. I'll tell you about it in seconds.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for President Donald J. Trump and the Senate of the United States of America to run like the wind and elect the pro-life judge to the Supreme Court ASAP yesterday. Is that even a word? They should get it done right away, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Now, interestingly enough, Barbara Lagoa, according to Larry Klayman, will be the next SCOTUS pick. They'll dare the Democrats to rough up a Latino from Florida. And, you know, that's fine. I get it. But when you start to pick based on race or based on female, based on this and this, what you're really doing is marginalizing the best pick on the altar of these, quote, prerequisites, these dishonest, fake prerequisites. It's got to be a woman because it was a woman before. It's got to be a female. You know, it's got to be a Latino or a black or somebody because, you know, we're in the era of, quote, you know, recompense or payback or whatever you want to call. Okay, this is the trap. And I don't know if Barbara Lagoa is pro-life enough for me or not. I know she's a Catholic as well, from what I understand. I know she cut her teeth on some pretty good stuff, which I'll get to in a quick second. But I don't know. I'm fearful that on the altar of not getting somebody with the moral character that we need, somebody that's pro-life enough, somebody that can weather the storm, if you will. And that's the big reason Kirk Crosby would say, I will take Roy Moore, even though he's older, because he will weather the storm. There's no doubt about it. And I think Kirk's right in that assessment. And I think Kirk's right that that is the key component for selection, in my personal opinion. So I back Kirk's play on this completely. I just hope filling in some of the context is helpful to understand why we feel the way we do, right? But Barbara Lagoa, Kirk, cut her teeth fighting Bill Clinton.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it is. And I guess what happened is there was a little boy from named Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
Gonzalez. Yeah, you remember this. And he basically came from Cuba, and somehow the Clinton administration tried to force the kid back to his father and all this kind of stuff in Cuba. And it was a big old battle at the time back in the Bill Clinton administration times. And I guess she fought boldly and nobly for, you know, this kid. And for the mother and stuff like that. Anyway, pretty cool story. And that's where she comes from, or cut her teeth and gained experience in a Florida law firm, Kurt. That's who she is.
All right. Very good.
And I don't know a lot about her, but that is a good sign, is the point.
And if Larry Klayman is, you know.
He didn't say whether he was really for that or not.
Exactly. He's just saying that's what's
going to happen. Saying that's what he believes is going to happen. And, you know. So I don't know really who Larry Klayman would think would be the best, per se. I mean, I'm not saying he said that.
Yeah.
What we need to do is look up Barbara Lagoa and kind of learn more about her, Kurt. Do you have an easy way to pull her up on Wikipedia? I can try and do that real quick here.
Well,
but I'd like to learn more about her.
I mean, first Hispanic woman to be appointed as a justice of the Supreme Court of Florida. She was born in 67, so she's
my age, Kurt. I was born in 67.
Yeah. There you go.
So hold on, she's a little bit older than Barrett, though, by like 5 years or so.
Four years, somewhere in that range. You know, they say she's, let's see. She grew up in the majority Cuban American city of Hialeah, Florida. Cuban American city.
Hmm. Meadows anyway, says Trump will not meet with Lagoa in Florida.
Probably just bring her up, I guess. Or is that what?
Now they say she thinks poll taxes are constitutional.
Huh?
You know what poll taxes are, don't you, Kurt?
Well, in other words, you have to pay to vote.
Is that what it is, or are poll taxes where they dance on that poll?
No.
No?
Yeah. I think they're talking about a polling, you know, like in other words, you have to pay a certain amount to be able to vote. And I would really be surprised about that. But anyway, you know, as I look at her personal life, it says she's married to Paul C. Huck Jr. They have three daughters, including a set of twins. She's a practicing Catholic who cites Catholic education as instilling an abiding faith in God that has grounded me and sustained me through the highs and lows of life. I don't see much more in the personal life section or really anything more there.
Yeah, so it's a little hard to get enough on Barbara to feel comfortable, in my opinion. And I'm not saying it should be bad. I'm just saying I'm not willing to make a pick without absolutely knowing. Right? So Lagoa is 52. Her parents are Cuban refugees. And I guess Jeb Bush is the one that appointed her to the Florida Court of Appeals back in 06, Kurt. She's a longtime member of the, quote, Federalist Society. That's the conservative network of lawyers that have provided intellectual cover, they say, to Trump's policies, which I disagree with. I don't disagree with her supporting Trump. I disagree with this intellectual cover. Maybe law and order would be a better term, but there you go. I guess Governor Ron DeSantis elevated her to the Florida Supreme Court, and she was the first Latino to join the bench. And she promptly joined the new conservative majority in revisiting and overturning progressive precedents. Anyway, I guess there's quite a few good things that she's done, Kurt. It's kind of a strange thing. Any other information on her?
You know, I just don't see much more, Sam, which
is concerning.
I'm kind of surprised, yeah.
Right? I'm a little concerned. Yeah, what's a poll tax, Kurt?
Yeah, as far as I understand, a poll tax is, you know, something that says, hey, you've got to pay a certain amount to be able to vote.
It is. It's a voter tax.
You know, going to the polls.
Are you supporting a poll tax, Kurt?
I don't think that's a good way to...
And I would say constitutionally, I don't think you can poll tax. You're not supposed to constitutionally direct tax the people, Kurt.
Right.
So I would have a problem with that. All right, moving right along. Speaking of the Supreme Court, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And the headline from the Western Journal, boys, is Franklin Graham to lead prayer march.
Hold on, before we get to the Franklin Graham one, this one's about the Supreme Court, Kurt.
Oh, okay.
Supreme Court leaves in place a Kentucky law requiring abortionists to share ultrasounds with the mother. I believe this is a huge thing, Kurt.
That's a good one. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And because what happens is when mothers see the ultrasound and they realize that baby's really alive, see, this greater ultrasound technology and capability that we have, this advancement in technology has really helped mothers to see the truth. Because what happens is you can tell everybody it's a piece of tissue all day long, and they've been propagandized to believe it. But when you see a baby move around on the screen and grab for things or hiccup or, you know, all the different things that are cute or whatever, and you see the baby move around, and pretty soon you go, I don't know about you, but to me, that's alive. And the truth comes out, Kurt.
Yes.
And so the Supreme Court in this case, backs letting people see the truth and saying, hey, you got to at least be able to see the truth before you commit murder. Now, I know we should stop murder, but at least letting people see the truth first is a huge step in the right direction. So good for the Supreme Court and good for the Kentucky law court.
Yes. And there was one other one that was, you know, kind of, I was sad to hear about, that was kind of related. They said, I guess in one case, I don't know which state it was, but they required that an aborted baby be buried. You know, that would also lend to the idea that, hey, this is a person, you know, and not just a
So what happened in this one then?
Tissue. I just was trying to look it up to see, but I just heard it a little, that it had gone the wrong way in this case. Let's see. I'm just trying to find more details on it. But anyway, I don't have it.
All right. Anyway, let me know when you have it. We'll move along to what you do have. You do have the story about Franklin Graham. And it's a great story. Because we were talking about the Supreme Court, I wanted to just highlight something good the Supreme Court's doing. And hopefully with a new justice that's pro-life, we can do more on that very same front. That's why I brought it up then. Go ahead, sir. I want to end this hour on this story, and I want to start the next hour on the same story because it's worthy of discussion.
Yep, very good, Sam. So Randy DeSoto writes at the Western Journal, the headline reads, Franklin Graham to lead prayer march in D.C. Only hope for our country is God, is the subheadline. And when you look at this, I know that this is an unpopular kind of thing, Sam. I know that, you know, everybody else.
Not amongst our listeners, Kurtz. It's super popular.
Well, we even get some among our listeners that will say something like, well, you know, don't preach to me so much or whatever. And yet, Sam, God is, well, he's the supreme leader. He's got to be the supreme commander. We've got to follow his laws for us to even hope for a good society, and this is supposed to be going on the 26th of September, which is this Saturday.
Yeah, and I wish I could be there. I just can't get the funding to be everywhere that I need. In fact, I can't even have people help me raise the money to go to the Red Pill Expo, hardly, Kurt. I'm struggling to take off days of work and fly in to cover that and stuff like that, but I am the media coordinator for the event, so I need to be there, even if it's at my own expense, Kurt.
Understand. And Franklin Graham told the Western Journal, I think the chaos we see in our country, the anarchy that we see in our streets, the coronavirus has put fear in people's hearts, anxiety, and we've seen the injustices that have taken place on some of our city streets, and all of this is just boiling over, and it seems like our country's out of control. And I feel that the only hope for our country is God. He says, I think God can use a politician to turn his country around, but we have to have God. You know, so Frank.
And the politician would need support, Kurt. Yes, and believe it or not, the one that I would point to is President Trump on his pro-life stance to make my point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're exactly
right. What if we had 50 million Americans that said, hey, Trump's right on pro-life? We got to have a pro-life Supreme Court justice. We got to not only one slam dunk the Supreme Court justice before the election, but we've got to overturn Roe versus Wade before the election. We need an emergency session for pro-life in the Supreme Court of our land. We've been murdering for way too long. This is a critical crisis that must be addressed in emergency fashion. What do you think of that, Kurt? What if before the Donald Trump win in November, we not only got a Supreme Court pick, and we also abolished Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get excited, Kurt. People can't even hear you. Kurt said, oh,
that's
yeah.
That's just fantastic. I mean, think about it. The God of heaven says, thou shalt not kill. And we continue to kill the most innocent among us. And then we're surprised when there's troubles in America.
Well, all I can tell you is we declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. Donate today. God save the Republic.